We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
Then I'll just, there's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Don't look now, but there's something funny going on over there at the bank, George. I've never really seen one, but that's got all the earmarks of being a run.
Now, just remember that this thing isn't as black as it appeared. I have some news for you, folks. I was just talking to old man Potter, and he's guaranteed cash payments to the bank. The bank's going to reopen next week.
But, George, I got my money here.
Did he guarantee this place?
Well, no, Charlie. I didn't even ask him. We don't need Potter over here.
Then I'll take mine now.
No, but you're thinking of this place all wrong, as if I had the money back in a safe. The money's not here. Well, your money's in Joe's house. That's right next to yours. And in the Kennedy house and Mrs. Maitland's house and 100 others. You're lending them the money to build, and then they're going to pay it back to you as best they can. Now, what are you going to do, foreclose on them?
I got $242 in here, and $242 isn't going to break anybody.
Okay, Tom. All right. Here you are. You sign this. You get your money in 60 days.
The 60 days?
Well, now, that's what you agreed to when you bought your shares, Tom.
Tom! Did you get your money?
No.
Well, I did. Old man Potter will pay 50 cents on the dollar for every share you got.
50 cents on the dollar?
Yes, cash.
Well, what do you say?
Now, Tom, you have to stick to your original agreement. Now, give us 60 days on this.
Okay,
thing.
Randall.
Are you going to Potter's?
Better to get half than nothing.
That's what I
Tom!
I need
Tom! Randall! Now, Randall, wait. Now, listen. Now, listen to me. I beg of you not to do this thing. If Potter gets a hold of this building and loan, there'll never be another decent house built in this town. He's already got charge of the bank, he's got the bus line, he's got the department stores, and now he's after us. Why? Well, it's very simple. Because we're cutting in on his business, that's why. And because he wants to keep you living in his slums and paying the kind of rent he decides. Joe, you had one of those Potter houses, didn't you? Well, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten what he charged you for that broken-down shack? Here, Ed, you know, you remember last year when things weren't going so well and you couldn't make your payments? Well, you didn't lose your house, did you? You think Potter would have let you keep it? Can't you understand what's happening here? Don't you see what's happening? Potter isn't selling, Potter's buying. And why? Because we're panicky and he's not, that's why. He's picking up some bargain. Now, we can get through this thing, all right. We've got to stick together, though. We've got to have faith in each other.
But my husband hasn't worked in over a year, and I need money.
How am I going to live until the bank opens?
I got doctor bills to pay. I need cash.
I can't keep my kids on faith. I've got to have...
How much do you need?
Hey! I got $2,000. Here's $2,000. This will tide us over to the bank reopens. All right, Tom, how much do you need?
$242.
No, Tom, just enough to tide you over until the bank reopens.
I'll take $242.
$242. There here you are.
That'll close my account.
Your account's still here. That's a loan. Okay. All right, Ed.
Well, I got $300 here, George.
All right, now, Ed, what'll it take until the bank opens? What do you need?
Well, I suppose $20?
$20. Now you're talking. All right. Thanks, Ed. That's fine. All right. Now, Miss Thompson, how much do you want?
But it's your own money,
now,
George.
Don't mind about that. How much do you want now?
I can get along with $20, all right.
$20, fine.
And I'll sign the paper.
You don't have to sign anything. I know. You pay when you can. That's okay.
Financial markets and the banking system were roiled on Friday after the sudden disintegration of Silicon Valley Bank, which largely served venture capitalists and tech startups. To many analysts and finance gurus, the collapse almost seemed to come out of nowhere, and it happened very fast.
Silicon Valley Bank collapsed today after failing to raise enough money to end its capital crisis. California regulators shut down the bank and put it in control of the FDIC.
Silicon Valley Bank becoming the second largest bank failure in U.S. history.
SVB, the 16th largest bank in the U.S. with $175 billion in deposits, is now the biggest American bank to fail since the 2008 financial crisis. Its customers are primarily businesses and investors in the tech sector.
The swift collapse of Silicon Valley Bank is the second largest financial failure in U.S. history, and it took only 48 hours to unfold.
Man, you gotta give it to Silicon Valley. They know how to move fast and break things. 48 hours! They basically Amazon Primed a bank collapse. And knowing Silicon Valley, I wouldn't be surprised if some tech startup comes along promising even faster bank collapses. It's called Instagon. You just download the app, press a button, and watch as all your money is instantly flushed down a digital toilet. Here, I'll show you. Honey, did you just lose the kids' college money? Yes. But I got an NFT of a cool plunger and sunglasses, so win-win. The Treasury Department and Federal Reserve quickly responded to the news by guaranteeing all deposits at SVB, which we'll get to in a minute. But the news also gave us a real contrast in leadership styles from the current president and the guy who preceded him. Joe Biden delivered remarks from the White House in an attempt to calm nervous markets and worried Americans after the collapse of the country's 16th largest bank, although he ended his remarks on an odd note.
Today, thanks to the quick action of my administration over the past few days, Americans can have confidence that the banking system is safe. Your deposits will be there when you need them. Small businesses across the country, the deposit accounts at these banks can breathe easier knowing they'll be able to pay their workers and pay their bills. And their hardworking employees can breathe easier as well. All customers who had deposits in these banks can rest assured, they'll be protected and they'll have access to their money as of today. Every American should feel confident that their deposits will be there if and when they need them. Look, the bottom line is this. Americans can rest assured that our banking system is safe. Your deposits are safe. Thank you. God bless you. And may God protect our troops. See you in California.
See you in California? If I was Silicon Valley Bank, I would not like hearing that. Good news, he bailed us out. Bad news, he's on his way. Biden's like a grandfather telling a principal, you can rest assured that my grandson has pulled his last fire alarm. For one thing, he's not going to be able to lift his arms after he's done cleaning the garage. Grandkids sitting there mouthing to the principal, don't let this man take me home with him. Biden also made a point of reassuring Americans that taxpayers would not pay for the bailout and that while depositors at SVB would be protected, investors would not.
No losses will be borne by the taxpayers. Let me repeat that. No losses will be borne by the taxpayers. Investors in the banks will not be protected. They knowingly took a risk, and when the risk didn't pay off, investors lose their money.
All right, seems fair. Investors take risks knowing full well there's a chance they can lose all their money, and that's what happened. So, as you heard there, Biden used words like safe, confidence, and rest assured over and over. And while that's absolutely the right thing for a president to do in this situation, generally speaking, I never personally felt assured when a president has said the words rest assured. Unless it was Obama. He was the only president who seemed calm while also making you feel like a dork for being worried. Now, I know some of you are running around saying, hey, my money's gone. I can't get my money. Well, listen up. You all need to chill the out. He'd be so cool about it, you start thinking, yeah, I don't need money, especially since I got Plungy. He's got a pirate hat now. Pirate hat doubles the value. In fact, Biden was so concerned with projecting calm that even the way he entered the room for his speech was very low maintenance. There was no pomp, no fanfare. He didn't even have any staff walk in with him. He just ambled in on his own, closed the door, and shuffled over to the podium like he was your next-door neighbor popping in for a visit. Biden did pretty much exactly what you'd want a president to do in this situation. Take immediate action, reassure Americans everything will be okay, much like the message former President Donald Trump delivered on his social media website over the weekend. Trump is clearly aware of the fact that sometimes, he has the tendency to overreact, which could panic nervous Americans and send shockwaves through the financial markets for no reason. So instead of freaking everyone out, Trump projected calm and confidence when he wrote this very reassuring message in all caps. We will have a Great Depression far bigger and more powerful than that of 1929. As proof, the banks are already starting to collapse. I mean, credit to him for not ending it with everybody run for your lives. Trump isn't just the guy who shouts fire in a crowded theater. He's the guy who lights the match, pours the gasoline, and screams, there's a fire and there's no point in leaving because I chain the exits. Fire, we hate fire, don't we, folks? Very nasty, not nice. Not nice, the fire. I remember one time I was in the Oval Office, had a guy come up to me, big guy, strong guy, bolts in his neck. Tears pouring down his green, monstrous face, and he said to me, he said, Mr. Trump, fire bad. And I said, it's so true, Frankenstein. This is a monster. Now look.
There's a lot to say about what happened to Silicon Valley Bank. There's the fact that its leaders and lobbyists pushed for more lenient financial rules. There's the news that the CEO sold over $3 million in stock just days before the bank's collapse. And then, of course, there's the infuriating hypocrisy of all these libertarian venture capitalist tech bros who routinely rail against government overreach and preach about the virtues of decentralizing finance. It turns out the people who constantly brag to the rest of us that they're ushering in a new era of techno-utopia without the help of the government couldn't even manage their own assets and basically tank their own bank by losing their and pulling all their money out.
Bloomberg reported that billionaire and venture capitalist Peter Thiel had his companies pull their funds from SVB this week. Do we know what kind of role that played in all this?
Well, Peter Thiel is an incredibly influential figure in Silicon Valley. And right now, there's a lot of finger-pointing going on about what caused this bank run on SVB. Peter Thiel, as reported by Bloomberg and his founders fund, pulled their money out by Thursday and encouraged his companies to pull their money out as well. Well, word spreads quickly in the Valley, right? You have group chats, you have Slacks, people are talking, and we saw tens of billions of dollars of money being withdrawn from SVB, which basically was a kiss of death and caused California regulators to shut it down.
They basically wrecked an entire bank via group chat. Before now, the craziest thing that ever happened in a group chat was that time Ted Cruz asked his neighbors to go to Cancun, and instead they ratted him out to the New York Times. This is why I'm fully against Slack. We don't use it here at Late Night. I mean, we Slack just fine without the help from an app. In fact, we don't have any method of centralized communication from our workflow. We just have one giant bullpen, like an old-fashioned newsroom, and when we need a clip or a graphic, someone looks up from their typewriter and screams, give me a clip of Joe Biden walking to the podium with the toilet flushing in the background. Stat! The big question now, of course, is how did this happen and what could have prevented it? Well, it turns out there's a little-known bureaucrat at the center of it whose identity is shrouded in secrecy, and I'm just kidding, it was Donald Trump.
In 2010, right after the 08 crash, the Obama administration signed what was known as the Dodd-Frank Act. In 2018, President Trump signed a bill that undid a lot of what Dodd-Frank had been set up to protect banks from collapsing just like this.
In 2018, then President Trump signed a bill into law which raised the threshold at which banks would need to undergo stress tests. That number, $250 billion, SVB had just under that amount.
I mean, of course it was Trump. Trying to figure out what went wrong in this country is turning into a super boring game of Clue where the weapon is always a pen and the killer is always Colonel Ketchup. I wouldn't be surprised if we also find out he rolled back federal regulations limiting the amount of cocaine a bear can snort. So basically, Trump repealed liquidity requirements that would have ensured mid-sized banks like SVB had enough cash on hand to weather a storm like this. And in fairness, you can't blame Trump for not knowing that. We have a team of researchers who can dig through the weeds of legislation to find carefully hidden adjustments to existing safety measures. It's not like Trump loudly bragged about it over and over again.
You have regulations that are horrendous.
Dodd-Frank is an example of what we're working on, and we're working on it right now. So we're going to do a very major haircut on Dodd-Frank.
We expect to be cutting a lot out of Dodd-Frank because, frankly, I have so many people, friends of mine, that have nice businesses. They can't borrow money. They just can't get any money because the banks just won't let them borrow because of the rules and regulations in Dodd-Frank.
We're going to eliminate wasteful regulations, which we've already done probably 25%. You can take a look at Dodd-Frank for the bankers in the room. They'll be very happy because we're really doing a major streamlining and perhaps elimination and replacing it with something else.
He actually said the words, for the bankers in the room, they'll be very happy. A true champion of the forgotten man. Who else was in the room with him? Was it an audience of literal fat cats? I need a Photoshop of some fluffy big boys, and I need it yesterday. How could you possibly think rolling back regulations on banks 10 years after a financial meltdown could ever be a good idea? It's like getting up at a podium and saying, we're finally going to ease the regulatory burden on our nation's cannibals by allowing them to take off those muzzles. We love our cannibals. They're job creators, and I'm very confident that they will stick to their promise of only eating salads, and now on a he's got my arm. Shoot him! Shoot him! Trump and his cronies gave Wall Street everything they wanted, but they still pretend they're working-class populists by complaining about wokeness ruining America. In fact, some Republicans even had the gall to blame this bank collapse on wokeness.
Are you seeing other CEOs besides him kind of going, it's time to stop with the climate change and all the woke issues instead of focusing on the main mission of the bank?
I mean, you do have these banks focusing on ESG and on all of these sort of woke policies.
Nobody in Washington at this point even acknowledges economics is real unless it could be tied somehow to climate change or racism.
Everybody is focused on diversity and all of the woke issues and not concentrating on one thing they should, which is shareholder returns.
Now coming out that they were one of the most woke banks.
I'm sorry, are you out of your mind? You think Silicon Valley Bank was woke? Who do you think was running it? A gender-neutral potato head? I knew this bank was in trouble the first time I saw the CEO in a bowler hat and lipstick. But it wasn't just Trump who supported rolling back these rules. It's important to note, he also had the support of many Senate Democrats. There were a few at the time who warned that rolling back the rules was a huge mistake, like Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders.
Are our memories so short that we have learned nothing from the 2008 Wall Street crash? Now, 10 years later, hoping that we forget all about that, these large financial institutions are back again. How pathetic is that? Just yesterday, the Congressional Budget Office told us that the legislation we are debating today will, and I quote, increase the likelihood that a large financial firm with assets of between $100 billion and $250 billion would fail.
Just as a general rule, if Bernie is warning you that you're doing something bad, you should at least give it a second thought. Like, I wish Bernie was there to tell me not to have that third beer when I go out for drinks on a work night. All our memories so short that we have learned nothing from karaoke night when you got so drunk you fall asleep on the F train and ended up at Coney Island. 99% of the trains go to last 1% of the stop. There are some obvious lessons here, including the fact that rolling back those regulations in 2018 was a huge mistake and they should be restored immediately. Republicans are blaming wokeness for this bank collapse, when in reality, the blame rests on a bipartisan push to deregulate Wall Street and one former president in particular who clearly needs
a very major haircut.
The mayor hides the crime rates. Councilwoman hesitates, public gets irate, but forgets the vote dates. Weatherman complaining, predicted sun, it's raining. Everyone's protesting, boyfriend keeps suggesting, you're not like all of the rest. Garbage ain't collected, women ain't protected. Politicians using, people they're abusing. The mafia's getting bigger, like pollution in the river. And you tell me that this is where it's at. Woke out this morning with an ache in my head. I splashed on my clothes as I spilled out of bed. I opened the window to listen to the news, but all I heard was the establishment's blues. Gun sales are soaring, housewives find life boring, divorce the only answer, smoking causes cancer, the system's gonna fall soon to an angry young tune, and that's a concrete co-fact. The Pope digs population, freedom from taxation, teeny bops are uptight, drinking at a stoplight, miniskirt is flirting, I can't stop so I'm hurting. Spencer sells her hopeless chest. Adultery plays the kitchen. Bigot cops than fiction. The little man gets shafted. Sons and money's drafted. Living by a timepiece. New war in the Far East. Can you pass the Rorschach test? It's a hassle, it's an educated guess. Well, frankly, I couldn't care less.
Congressman George Santos today filed paperwork to run for a second term in 2024. Oh, I figured there'd be applause, no? How is he running for a second term? He hasn't even been kicked out of his first term yet. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is finally accepting responsibility for the deadly violence he incited on January 6th. Just kidding. He's blaming it on Mike Pence.
Something has clearly thrown off the balance of our planet. Maybe it's global warming. Maybe it's the fact that the former president made his first Iowa visit for the 2024 campaign. Oh! This is the moment I've been dreading for over 2 years. I said I would never do the impression anymore, but the campaign has begun, so here we go. Meh, see, I used to be president, see, meh. Person, woman, man, camera, TV, meh. I'll work on it. Oh, no. Oh, no. I love pity, but not that much. I'll work on it. The former president started talking to the press before his plane even landed, specifically about his former vice president and child's drawing of a sad man, Mike Pence. Over the weekend at the, what's it called? Gridiron Dinner, Mike Pence said history will hold the former president accountable for January 6th.
Trump said since Pence refused to help him overturn the election, he, quote, in many ways deserves blame for what happened at the Capitol, which is the presidential equivalent of if the teller had just put the money in the bag, everybody would have made it home safe. He said if Mike Pence hadn't refused to overturn the election, you wouldn't have had January 6th, as we call it. Yeah, right. That's what the calendar calls it, too. Everyone calls it. Are people calling it December 37th? I don't think so. Listen, Mike Pence can be blamed for a lot of things, like shampooing with whiteout, but he didn't cause January 6th. They tried to hang him on January 6th. I can't wait to see Pence debating Donald Trump. It's going to be like Elmo versus Cocaine Bear. It's going to be...
Former president also went after his chief 2024 rival, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, whom he claimed is in the national spotlight only because of the former president's 2018 endorsement, saying, if it weren't for me, Ron DeSanctimonious would right now probably be working at a law firm or maybe a Pizza Hut. Or if he was really ambitious, a combination law firm Pizza Hut. You know their slogan, no one out pizzas Schaeferman, Lakin, and Associates. Hello, I'd like to order a large meat lover's divorce. Ooh, garlic knots. Former president also explained his new nickname for DeSantis, saying, I use the word Ron DeSanctimonious or Ron DeSanctus. It's just a shorter version, yes. Because all nicknames need a nickname. They call me T-Bone, which is, of course, short for Tyrannosaurus Bone. The former president is clearly losing his nickname game because he already has the perfect nickname for DeSantis that he's rejected, and it's Meatball Ron, which he says is too crude. Yeah, he says a lot of nasty things, but he draws the line at meatballs. That is sacred ground. Beef, pork, veal, lamb. When it came time for his speech, the former president bragged about almost having done something.
I virtually eliminated the unfair estate tax or death tax. If you love your children, you can leave your farm to your kids. If you don't like your kids that much, or if you don't like them at all, which happens on occasion, don't leave them a thing.
Hey, Dad's talking about me. Thanks for the... Dad, it's me. Thanks for the shout-out, Dad. The only thing I want you to leave me is a hug. Or just slip me in the casket with you.
Does anybody in here not like their children?
Kind of dark, huh? Kind of sad.
Took a turn.
Thank you.
Trump has been making little attack videos on Truth Social. I think he's trying to get Truth Social going. And what I like about these videos is he always wraps them up with a moment of thanks.
We have to take back the White House or our country is doomed. Thank you very much. Our country is going to hell and we're going to turn it back into greatness for America. Thank you very much. Under my leadership, this madness will end. Thank you very much. Our country is going to hell. We're going to make America great again. Thank you. What a shame, what a shame, what a shame. Thank you. People don't want fake news. Thank you very much. Even taking a competency test would be a good thing. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, I guess. You know, say what you like about him. He's very polite. Trump right now is mad at Fox News because he found out everybody on air there was sending texts calling him an idiot after the election. So they've been sycophanting it up even more than usual lately. This morning, Fox and Friends attempted to appease Orange Julius Caesar with some positive poll numbers.
Well, he also is on a bit of a roll. Since he went and visited East Palestine, stopped having lunch with white supremacists, and has got a very disciplined message. According to the Emerson poll, he's got 73% approval rating among Republicans with high school degrees or below.
Mostly below. He is absolutely crushing among voters who cannot tie their own shoes. It's amazing.
Former President Trump has reportedly been invited to testify before a New York grand jury as part of the Manhattan District Attorney's investigation into hush money payments that were made to adult film star Stormy Daniels. And despite everything, Trump was still excited to get invited to something in New York again.
I'm back, baby. Any word from the Met Ball? Have they reached out?
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.